My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner. She is president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. She has been with us for every twist and turn of the debate over the president's healthcare plan, from its initial proposal through the times where it looked like even in a deeply Democratic Congress it would not get through the point where it actually did pass. Now, of course, the legal challenges that have taken up the better part of the last couple of years. And, of course, the legal part of this culminated on Thursday when the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that the president's health care plan is unconstitutional on the grounds of the Commerce Clause and the Necessary and Proper Clause, but does pass constitutional muster if you look at it as a tax, which is within the power of Congress to do, is to levy new taxes. And Grace Marie, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, it's always a pleasure. We continue in these battles, don't we?
Obviously, you're disappointed with the decision from Chief Justice Roberts and the four that went along with him. What did you make not only of the decision, but the reasoning behind the decision?
It is absolutely baffling, Greg. It is clear that it was a contrived position because the chief at some point decided that he did not want to join the other four justices in throwing out the entire law. The otherwise conservative justices all were not only aligned in saying that the individual mandate was unconstitutional, but also that would have struck the Medicaid mandate and the whole law. And it, from every evidence, it looks as though the dissent, basically saying the four justices who lost in the final decision, were originally writing the majority opinion. So did the chief switch at the last minute? He couldn't seem to go far enough in his switch to declare that the individual mandate could be upheld under the Commerce Clause of the Constitution, which would certainly be an expansion that would be beyond anything imaginable. So he created a new contravention to say that the individual mandate, the penalty for not paying it, was actually a tax, which is just absolutely bizarre. I think Washington is just stunned about this. Obviously, people who supported this law are celebrating, but a lot of us are scratching our heads and saying, goodness gracious, what are the implications of this? Talk about judicial activism when he basically rewrites the law in order to be able to take a position that he seemed to have for some reason wanted to take to uphold it. Is he more concerned about the reputation of the court and backlash if he were to strike it down? But you've got to hope that they base their decisions not on that, but on what's the correct constitutional interpretation.
Some other critics of the decision, Grace Marie, have said that the Chief Justice, while not ruling in the way they would have preferred, laid out perhaps paths to help end the law later down the road, whether legally by placing some restrictions on the power of government through the Commerce Clause and elsewhere, and also by declaring it a tax. It would be easier to repeal if Republicans get a majority in Congress and obviously the White House. Do you read it that way, or is that just trying to put the best possible spin on a bad decision?
No, I really do think that that this throws it back to the voters. A lot of us wished that, really had hoped, that the Supreme Court would just strike this, be done with it, and now we can move on to other issues. That's not going to happen, obviously. This is going to have to be undone the same way it was passed, and that is by majorities in both houses of Congress and a president who will sign it. So that really, the post that I sent out right after the decision was announced said, hello, November. Because that's really, now this becomes a huge dominant issue in the fall campaign, because the American people are now the only thing that stands between us and putting and the elections, between us and socialism in our healthcare system, which is going to be corrosive to job creation, and I think is going to put us into the same kind of welfare state mentality that we see in Europe. This is, if it already wasn't the most important election perhaps in our lifetime, it certainly is now. And for many people, I think November 6th is going to be a single-issue election where Obamacare becomes their central organizing, motivating issue.
We're talking with Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute. Two quick questions for you, Grace Marie, before we let you go. You called this corrosive to job creation. Obviously, there's a lot of uncertainty out there, regulatory and otherwise, and this is part of it when you and I have both talked to small business owners. What does the fact that this decision came down the way it did mean for their future plans?
Well, the first question I got after this, the first speech I gave after this law passed 2 years ago, the first question, the first hand that went up was it was a group of business owners in Washington State. And the first guy said, just tell me how much this is going to cost me. And I said, it's impossible to know that because we don't know what benefits are going to be mandated and all of the other permutations of this law. It's still not clear, but what's happened is businesses are on the sideline. There was a program today at the Heritage Foundation, and the business owner talked about, you know, he's got 47 employees. He says, I'm not going to hire those three other employees to put me over that 50-employee mark, which means that he then is susceptible to the Obamacare employer mandate. So all across the country, the engine of job creation, small businesses, are basically paralyzed, and now they're not going to do anything until November. No, instead of having this decided in July, it's going to be decided in November. If the president's reelected, then we're going to just all have to get over it because it's going to be impossible to repeal this law. If he's not, then I think we can move on with repeal and with getting to the right kind of reform that the American people wanted all along. But it's going to be a big deterrent and a big damper on the economy between now and the election. This, I just don't see how this is good news for the president. The most unpopular part of his law, the individual mandate, has been upheld. This court has called it a tax. He's now going to have to talk about health care between now and November. Every time he does that and people get reminded of this law, his whole numbers go down. It's not clear to me that this is really a political win for the White House.
Grace Marie, the president, of course, is elated that the court ruled it the way it did. The Republican nominee, of course, will be Mitt Romney, who pushed for an individual mandate in Massachusetts. It's a slightly different animal, of course, at the state level than the federal level. But the argument, of course, against Romney would be that he perhaps was even the precursor and even was the pattern for the president's health care plan in some ways. I know you trust him more than the president to roll this back, but how much do you trust him if he's elected?
I don't think he's going to have any choice. I mean, yesterday, what did he raise? More than $4 million from 47,000 new contributors who basically say, okay, we get it. If we're going to repeal this, we have to elect Mitt Romney. And as someone said, you know, he doesn't have to lead on this. Congress will lead. All he has to do is sign it. And I can't imagine that if the Congress passes a repeal bill that Romney would not sign it. I mean, he has made over and over this commitment to the American people. If he vetoes it, Lord only knows what the repercussions would be. The American people already are furious about how this was passed, and they're now furious about the Supreme Court. If they elect a new president and a new Congress to repeal this and they don't do it, deliver us from whatever the American people will then do after that. It scares me to death to think about it.
Grace Marie, we'll have to leave it there. But as you mentioned, the debate and certainly the political dimension heat up from here. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner is president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.